We've been studying about some thoughts that are brought out in, by Luke. So how do we end up in Jeremiah here this morning? Jeremiah 17. We've been talking about some thoughts about the cross of Christ and some of the benefits that we have because of Jesus dying on a cross. And I don't think we have enough time or enough hours in the rest of our life to fully appreciate and discuss all this. But there's some good thoughts that are brought out in Jeremiah 17. Before we get there, go to the book of Psalms, chapter 1. We'll read three verses, the first three verses. And these connect with the thoughts that we'll read here in Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8. I was told I rush, so I'm going to slow down. Some of you think, if you slow down any further, you won't be moving, you know, but that's okay. Psalm 1, 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now go to Jeremiah 17. On your own, you can read from 5 through 13. However, we're going to read verses 7 and 8. They connect with what we just read. Jeremiah 17, 7. And I had you look these verses over this week, if you remembered to do so. Jeremiah 17, 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That means to put your faith in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious in a year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. We asked the question last week, what kind of tree is a her tree with her roots? And obviously, the Lord is looking more at a tree here. He's looking at those that would be overcomers, full overcomers with deep roots and all these things that it describe, if you will study this out, what is the qualities that are found in the bride of Christ. In last week, we ended with a scripture in John 5:39. In John 5:39, we find that Jesus says this: search the scriptures. They are they which testify of me. You want to know more about Jesus? Search the scriptures. The scriptures is the word of God. It's the law of the Lord in David's time when he wrote that psalm we just read, that he wrote about. Go to 1 Timothy 4:13. And this applies to all of us, but Paul was writing this to Timothy, and Timothy was an apostle, a church apostle at this time. Timothy was brought up knowing the Holy Scriptures, and Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 4:13, said this: till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation to doctrine. Okay, go to 2 Timothy 2. This was written at a later time, Paul writing again to Timothy. And he encouraged Timothy again to spread out his roots into deeper soil. And he says in 2 Timothy 2:15, steady. What? The newspapers? No, the scriptures. That was when he was to study. Steady to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The word of truth is what you was to be studying, the scriptures. And then a few verses later, Paul writes again some more encouragement to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16. We'll start there. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Go back to Acts 17. And if all scripture is given by inspiration of God, Jeremiah 17, 7 and 8 is part of that all scripture. That's why we're studying it. Okay, I had you turn to Acts 17. In Acts 17, 11, we find the Apostle Paul briefly visiting Berea, probably one of his shortest visits of an assembly where they did receive the word of God. And we are told in Acts 17, 11, that these of Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Was Paul telling the truth? They searched the scriptures to find it out. The stated in the spirit of what we're reading in Jeremiah 17:8, these saints of Berea were quickly spreading out deep roots. They were quickly becoming established in the truth of the Word of God. And we know that Paul was only with them a short time, but he instilled in them the importance of searching the scriptures daily and to be daily looking for the soon coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I hope we all wake up in the morning and think, when we get out of bed, say, thank you, Lord, for this day. May you come today. And, you know, our thoughts are of him and what he has written to us and what we've been studying. When you go to bed at night, what do you think about? Hopefully not too much, because you won't fall asleep right away. But if there's something on your mind, I hope it's from the scriptures. That's what we need to focus upon. So back to Jeremiah 17:8. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. It's an interesting word, this word spreadeth, found in verse 8. It's unique in its Hebrew usage here in Scripture. It's used only this one time with this meaning. Spreadeth means to send away, to send forth, to send out. Go to Philippians 3. The Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 expresses a similar thought. And Philippians is one of my favorite books of scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote. It was written to overcomers. Philippians 3:13 and 14. Paul writes, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." How did he spread forth his roots? He was reaching forth into those things which are before. He was pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The bride of Christ will come from those Holy Ghost-filled believers from this church age who spreadeth out her roots and reaches forth unto those things which are before and presses towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Recall from Genesis 24, the story about a bride for Isaac, that Rebekah spreadeth out her roots when she said, "I will go," in verse 58 of Genesis 24. For in her heart, she had already purposed to marry Isaac. She spread out her roots. Now, go to Isaiah 61 for a second. And as you're turning there, I want you to consider also the following concerning the roots of a growing tree. That this tree is daily feeding upon the endless supply of living water from the river of water that is always available to her. This is the process where this special tree, the special her tree, as you'll note there in Jeremiah 17:8, is spreading out her roots. In other words, this tree, this her tree, is found reaching forth unto those things which are before, and you'll find that in Isaiah 61:3, and digging deeper and deeper into the exceeding rich soil in which she was planted, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That is what you will find in Isaiah 61:3. This tree of Jeremiah 17:8 pictures all those race course runners who become full overcomers because they took root. They took deep roots, ever spreading out their roots in an ever forward progression of deeper and deeper growth in Christ Jesus, feeding daily upon the Word of God, as we've talked about here this morning. The Word of God is the river of living water, and by so doing, they are thus growing in grace and knowledge of their first love, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter even wrote this in 2 Peter 3:18. The 2 Peter 3:18 is written on the steps out here, but not the text of it, just the verse. It says in 2 Peter 3:18, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." How are you going to grow without cracking the book, spreading out your roots, feeding on the Word of God? So, are you interested in learning the deeper things of God? I think we all are. If so, spread out your roots. Just try to exhaust the endless supply of living water. Here it is. I noticed David mentioned this morning, the word meditate. The word meditate defines the process of spreading out her roots. You know, we cannot always be reading the Word of God. tried doing that and driving at the same time. It ain't going to last very long. But one can always meditate upon that which we have read, which we have studied, which we have taken in. Meditate means to attend to. It means to ponder. It means to care for. It also means to be diligent in. Meditate. What are you meditating on? What were you doing outside while you were mowing the lawn? Well, he's mowing the lawn. But were you meditating on the Word of God, maybe? I mean, I know that's what I find myself doing. And sometimes I pay attention to mowing the lawn, too. But the Lord himself said this to Joshua in Joshua 1:8. So please turn there. This should maybe be underlined in your Bible. These are words of encouragement to Joshua as he took over leading the children of Israel after Moses was gone. And this was the Lord himself speaking to Joshua. And Joshua, just to give you a quick statement here, he's found in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, an Old Testament worthy of faith. The Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Good positive results from meditating day and night on the Word of God. And of course, we know the book of the law was all the scripture that Joshua had, and he was to meditate therein day and night. So, did Joshua have good success as the Lord said he would? Well, again, he's highlighted in Hebrews 11 as one of the Old Testament worthies of faith. I go back to 1 Timothy 4. We might have read this earlier, and we'll read it again. 1 Timothy 4, 13. Because it was along these same lines that Paul wrote to Timothy. He says in 1 Timothy 4, 13, "Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." We didn't read this earlier, but verse 15 says, "Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all." What was he to meditate upon? What he'd read? What was he to read? The scriptures, okay? 14 times in scripture we find the word meditate. 14 is the number of deliverance or salvation. Can you think of anything better to meditate upon? Because when you are meditating upon deliverance or salvation, you are really meditating upon the benefits we have in Christ Jesus. Turn to Psalm 116. I'm sure this was written by David. And David, as you know, he did some meditating himself. Psalm 116, 12 says this, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?" Spread out your roots on that thought. Meditate on that. The psalmist here, probably David, he did some meditating here, and he came up with the following in verse 13. "I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." he was meditating upon deliverance and salvation. In verse 17 of Psalm 116, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. Did you notice in verse 13 and 17 both here? He was going to call on the name of the Lord. And what was he going to say? Thank you. What else can you do? Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for all your benefits towards me. Man, you can go on with that. So in answering his own question, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits towards me? The psalmist, after some meditating in his own heart, came up with, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. So thus we find the way of spreading out one's roots is to call upon the name of the Lord. With a heart full of thanksgiving for all his many benefits towards, and put your name here, towards me as an individual. David was an Old Testament worthy of faith also. And he was an Old Testament worthy of faith because of his meditating heart being found to be a man after God's own heart. Yeah, David made some mistakes, didn't he? Let's focus on that. No. Let's focus on his heart. A heart after God's own heart. Read that in Acts, I think it's about 13:22. Back to Jeremiah 17:8. And again, the river here in Jeremiah 17:8, we mentioned this last week. It speaks of the Holy Ghost, which all full overcomers must freely receive in order to properly spread out their roots. And I'm talking about church age overcomers. Go to John 7, 38 and 39. We read this last week. We're reading it again this week because it's important. John 7, 38 and 39. Jesus is speaking in verse 38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. John writes in verse 39, but this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified at that time when he spoke these words. This river that we're referencing never runs dry. And then back in Jeremiah 17:8, which is our study text for this morning, we read this next part, which says, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful or anxious in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Man, there's a lot of things in here, a lot of thoughts. We found heat and drought mentioned in this portion. Well, heat and drought speaks of times of testings, plural, and trials, plural, and multiple, and maybe one on top of another. Heat and drought. I mean, we're in a hot days of July right now. It's 100 degrees here yesterday. It'd be real close to that today. But have you ever been in hot tests, hot trials? And if you're breathing, I know you have been, okay? All full overcomers must have these times of testings and trials in their own life. These are things to overcome, in other words. But notice this. This well-established tree, a her tree with her roots, is not anxious during such times, but rather shoots down deeper roots. Deeper roots in the time of heat, in the time of testing. Thus her roots keep on feeding. Her foundation is sure, solid. The full overcomer sees the good through such tests. Turn to Romans 8:28. You probably know it. You can quote it better than I can. The full overcomer with deep roots recognizes Romans 8:28 in such times when the heat cometh. And Romans 8:28 says, and we know. Or, as some people like to think about it, and we hope. No, we should know this. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I hope you have meditated upon that verse also. Go to Philippians 4. The Apostle Paul probably writes one of the most concise commentaries on this thought of how to be a full overcomer and to deal with tests and trials here in Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. And note how this correlates with what we're talking about in Jeremiah 17, 8. Paul writes in Philippians 4:6, be careful, that is anxious. Be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving again, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Like we said this morning, meditate upon these things. These seven things mentioned in Philippians 4:8 all speak to things of an intimate relationship with Christ Jesus. What are you thinking about? What do you meditate upon? A full overcomer will see Jesus in everything that comes their way, and thus they shall not see when heat cometh, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Go to John 11. As you turn in there, thinking about our tree of Jeremiah 17:8, you'll find there that this her tree has green leaves. And green speaks of resurrection. I'm sure you knew that. Jesus said in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So we find that green points us to the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. We may not be able to see what the roots of the tree has taken in. We may not be able to see how vast the root system of a tree is, how far the roots reach, but we can observe the green leaf. Okay. Her leaf is green because it has taken in light. If you're still in John, what does it say in John 8:12? This is Jesus. He's speaking there. He says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In John 9:5, again, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. If in the natural, the leaf doesn't see light, it isn't going to be green very long. Cover the green leaf, and it doesn't take long before it turns yellow and looks anemic. Consider this. The full overcomer takes in as much available light as they can. The anemic Christian does not. The full overcomer has an upward gaze, and like this tree of Jeremiah 17:8, her branches reach out and up, and her leaves take in all the light they can and reach out for more. That's why you're here, yeah? I remember this, learning this in grade school, that the leaf also breathes. And as it does so, it purifies the atmosphere around it. I read in the newspaper this morning that the city of Lakewood has 600,000 trees. Is that enough? What do those trees do? You know, they purify the air. They give shade. Well, did you ever think that the tree leaf breathes? And by breathing, it gives those close by a breath of fresh air in this ever polluted world. That clears out some of the pollution. The overcomer, too, is a breath of fresh air to those nearby, repeating words of faith and good doctrine which they have learned. You'll find that statement in 1 Timothy 4:6. Go to 2 Corinthians, first chapter. The green leaves of this special herb tree that we're talking about in Jeremiah 17:8 also provide shade. And by providing shade, they provide comfort on an otherwise very hot day. The Apostle Paul expressed the very same thought in 2 Corinthians 1, starting in verse 3, and we'll read through 7. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted. It is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Brother Hill, one time, he gave a good Bible study on this portion of Scripture, and he emphasized the facts that the words comfort and consolation are found 10 times in the verses we just read, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 7. The number 10 has to do with responsibility according to ability. And Brother Hill, in his notes, he wrote, one of the following and concerning verses 3 and 4 of 2 Corinthians 1. It says, verses 3 and 4 show one of the greatest secrets of great living. If we would help others efficiently, we must recall how God helped us. Forgetfulness in one direction breeds selfishness in another. Where there is no sense of divine mercy, there is never a big stream of benefits. I had to look up this word, benefits. Benefits is the fact or quality of being kind or doing good. It speaks of charity. Brother Hill continues, it is always the remembrance of God's mercy that moves us to be merciful. And the same remembrance mingles our mercies with wise and intelligent sight. So what the Lord has done for us teaches us what to do for others. And how he did it will move us to the same moods. I forgave thee all thy debt. Ought thou not therefore to have compassion on thy fellow servant? So our obligations are born in our blessings. And if we seriously consider the one, we shall undertake the other. So Paul here asks us to remember the Lord's comforts. We are to retrace our steps down the old road where stumbling in chains and under an unbearable burden, he and grace united us. And how again and again, when the road was steep and the burden heavy and the way dark, he came, and whether it was sorrow or pain, confusion or despair, he gave us his balms and wine, and that feeble flickering light was fed and fanned into a cherry flame. We are to take all of these and touch others who are as we were. Oh, what a need for such today. I know we ran out of time a minute ago, but thanks for putting up with me this morning. And Lord, tarry us till next week. We'll continue some more thoughts from Jeremiah 17:8.